Turn to Psalm 46 and also Psalm 91. Psalm 46, we like to read verse 1, verse 7, and verse 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very help, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then verse 11 says the same thing. Then over in Psalm 91, read verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Both of these psalms deal with the fact that God is our refuge. That is a thought that is presented throughout the Word of God. The 46th Psalm opens with that statement, God, all capital letters, Jehovah, is our refuge. And then in verses 7 and 11, addressing the same topic, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And then in the 91st Psalm, there is an opening statement regarding dwelling and abiding in God. In relation to that, the psalmist declares, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Followed by a personal resolve concerning Him, in Him, who is our refuge, will I trust. It is not merely, as you read these verses, God was my refuge, though He was. God shall be, though He shall be, my refuge. But God is. God is my refuge. So in both of these psalms, God is not only where we can flee for refuge, but He is right now the place of refuge where we can abide, according to Psalm 91. We preach this morning concerning fleeing to the Lord for refuge, for salvation. Most of us here have experienced that. The wonderful thing is, He's still our refuge. It wasn't just a one-time thing. He still is our refuge. So I want to speak tonight on God, our personal and abiding refuge. Everybody has places or habits that provide them refuge. One person may come home from work and sit in a recliner for a half hour. That's a refuge for that. That's their habit, and it's a refuge. It's a place of relaxing. But we all that are saved have a very special refuge. And it's a refuge that cannot be equaled. There's nothing like it. I want to see, first of all, the need of refuge. We, again, when we were saved, we saw our need for refuge and we fled. And we found refuge in Jesus Christ. But we still have need of refuge, or a place of shelter, a place of safety. place of provision. It's a place where you can get away. The very idea of a refuge implies either the existence or the possibility of a storm. And everyone here is either in a storm or there's a possible storm on the horizon. So it's either the existence or the possibility of a storm or some kind of danger, some kind of difficulty, some kind of need. And in both the 46th and 91st Psalm, this is realized, that there is a storm, that there is a need. A refuge also suggests that something stronger than ourselves. So it implies personal weakness, perhaps personal inability. Certainly implies the need of assistance or relief of some kind or supply of some kind. And again, in both of these Psalms, these are realized. So we want to look at the scenes of, just briefly, of each of these two Psalms. Notice in Psalm 46, we see the psalmist paints a scene. From verse 1, it is a scene of trouble. The very last word of verse 1. The specifics of the trouble by God's design are not mentioned. They're not specified. The specifics of the trouble are not specified. It just says trouble. And that's a good thing. Because if God specified or led the psalmist to specify the trouble, we would probably limit our troubles to whatever the specification was. And therefore, we would limit God. So he just says, trouble. Trouble. That would include all forms of trouble. Trouble can come in the form of, they're almost innumerable. It can come in the form of pressure, unrest, distress, problems, griefs, misery, on and on we could go, burdens. It also includes all degrees of trouble. We all know that all trouble is not the same. Some are greater than others. So the word trouble here covers all forms, covers all degrees, covers all durations. Not all trouble lasts the same amount of time. It would also include all realms of trouble. Trouble can come in the physical. It can come in the mental. It can come in the emotional. And it can come in the spiritual. The realms of trouble. It could come in all of them at one time. It's not just that we have one of those at a time. Sometimes we may be experiencing all the realms of trouble. So the very fact that trouble can come speaks of the need of a place. In verses 2 and 3, the psalmist illustrates the way that trouble can come, the suddenness of it, the severity of it. He begins with perhaps the most frightening and catastrophic natural disasters imaginable, an earthquake. You know, in a tornado, you can get away from a tornado, perhaps, or a hurricane. When the earth starts giving way, there's nowhere to go. This is a very frightening catastrophe. And we read here that the earthquake is so severe that the mountains slip into the sea. That is a picture of something that's sudden. It's sudden. There's no warning. And there's really nothing you can do. And if the mountains start going into the sea, what are you going to do? You can't stop it. You can't remedy it. There's nothing you can do. But there is a refuge where we are safe, and that is the Lord. He also speaks of the force and fury of the storm and the flood. He says, though the waters thereof, referring back to the sea, roar and be troubled. So in verse 2 and verse 3, he draws our attention to the earth and the mountains. Two things that appear immutable and very stable. The earth, the mountains. They represent things that we can count on. Things that we think we can count on. But here they are moved. They're moved. It's a picture of great upheaval. It's a picture of disturbance, turbulence, which would cause pandemonium, chaos. It's a picture of sudden change. It's really, I mean, if the earth and the mountains give way, everything's falling apart. And that's what it's a picture of. A picture of everything falling apart. Now that's trouble. When it appears that everything in your life and that which was most solid in your life, it's all falling apart. That's trouble. And that's what the psalmist is speaking of. The earth removed, the mountains carried into the sea. Again, that's a crisis. That's a disaster. That's dire straits. That's something that is very terrifying. Verse 6, we read, the heathen raged. They roared. Speaking of their state of agitation, a state of fury and wrath, a state of outrage and resentment. And then it says, the kingdoms were moved, conveying the idea of overthrow and violence. You notice in verse 9, there are wars, battles, and struggles. There is the bow, the spear, and the chariot. Emblems of enemy power and force. In verse 10, we read of the heathen. And in verse 10, the Lord says, I will be exalted. Suggesting that he was being discredited and dishonored at the time. So that gives us an idea of the trouble that the psalmist is speaking of in verse 1. It is a trouble that is everywhere. And then in Psalm 91, you have a scene of trouble. In Psalm 91, you read of the snare of the fowler, there in verse 3. That speaks of traps that are skillfully and strategically laid in our path by the enemy. There is the snare of the fowler. That is so in the life of every single one of us this evening. There is the snare of the fowler. He has laid his traps for us. There is the phrase, noisome pestilence, there in verse 3. Noisome simply means harmful. Pestilence refers to a plague, an infestation. So it is a plague, an infestation of that which is harmful, that which is destructive. We also see in verse 4, there's a suggestion of that which is threatening. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings. The emblem of the bird. And again, it shows that there is a threat nearby. And you go on in Psalm 91. In verse 5, you read of the terror by night. The terror by night. That is fear, dread, alarm, panic. It's in the night, which conveys the idea of mysterious. And then you also read the arrow that flieth by the day. The arrow, a weapon designed to inflict pain and death. There's not only the terror by the night, there is that arrow in the day. So it's night and day. Terror by night, arrow by day. Night and day. Night and day there's trouble. Night and day there's that which is threatening. He goes on in verse 6 and again he mentions the pestilence. That which is infectious and afflicting. And even fatal. And it says, the pestilence walketh. It shows that it has a purpose. It walketh in darkness. And then you read, destruction that wasteth at noonday. So you have darkness, you have noonday. The noonday speaks, again, it's the destruction wasteth at noonday. The power of demolition. And ruin. And that's at noon. That's not when you expect it. So again, it's a scene of trouble. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. That speaks of the downfall of many going on all around us. Verse 10, you read the word evil. And again, there's the word plague. In verse 13, the words lion, adder, and young lion. Speaking of powerful and merciless enemies. So from all of this, Psalm 46 and Psalm 91, we see that the world is a very dangerous and frightening place, especially for the child of God. A place filled with perils. A place filled with threats. A place where disaster of all kinds is possible. And these are night and day. These are night and day. There's a great need of refuge. And we as God's people, ever since that day that we fled to God for refuge, for the salvation of our soul, God is our refuge. So what kind of refuge is this? Again, in the midst of all of this, God is our refuge. Danger all around. But the child of God is never left without a refuge. The child of God may not make use of his refuge, but the child of God is never left without a place of refuge. In Psalm 46, it is stated directly three times, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. We see it is presented in verse 1 of Psalm 46 by the words strength and help. Has our refuge, he gives strength. Has our refuge, he gives help. In Psalm 91 and 2, the psalmist said, he is my refuge. And in verse 9 of Psalm 91, it says, my refuge. And the idea of such in Psalm 91 is presented in verse 1. The secret place of the Most High. Our refuge is the secret place of the Most High. And we also read of the shadow. And in verse 2, we read of the fortress. In verse 3, we read, deliver thee from. Again, speaking of God has a refuge. And in verse 4, he shall cover thee. And under his wings. And then we read that he is our shield and our buckler. God is our refuge. And everything said of God in these two Psalms is to be viewed in the light of the fact that He is our refuge. Cannot lose sight of that. Must never forget it. God is our refuge. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God, Jehovah, our refuge, is very present. In verse 5, it says that He is in the midst. He is in the midst. And we see in verse 7, He is with us. Psalm 95 verse 1 or 91 verse 15, I will be with him. So our refuge is present. Whatever our circumstances, our refuge is present. And his presence is greater than all that besets the child of God. He is present. And he is very present. That means he is available. He's very available. A very present help in trouble. Not when the trouble is over, but while the trouble is going on. He is a very present. He is very available to the child of God. If we do not avail ourselves of that refuge, the fault lies with us, not with God. Concerning the character of our refuge, throughout the two Psalms, we read of the absoluteness of God. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is. Verse 7 and 11, we read, the Lord of hosts is. And twice we read, the God of Jacob is. So we are reminded God is. And whatever he is our refuge. And in Psalm 91 and verse 2, he is. That is, our refuge is absolute. It's definite. It's not something that we dream up in our minds. It's real. And the truth is, it's more real than the trouble, whatever the trouble is. No matter what, He is. Nothing changes that. And He is our refuge. In Psalm 46, verse 41, or verse 4, He is referred to as the Most High. He's also referred to as the Most High in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 9. The Most High. The word most, of course, is a word of comparison. If He is the Most High, then He's higher than all. It is a word, it is a relative word. He is the Most High. That means that our refuge towers above all. There's nothing equivalent to our refuge. There's nothing higher ranking than Him. He is the Most High. And He is our refuge. He is the Most High. What that means is He's simply more than. He's more than any trouble. He's more than anything that is described in these two Psalms. And He is our refuge. He is our refuge. He is sovereign. Psalm 91 and verse 1 says He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. He's the Most High Almighty. And then we hear the psalmist say in verse 2 of Psalm 91, He is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. And in Psalm 46, verse 7 and 11, He is the Lord of hosts. That describes His sovereignty. He has all authority. He reigns supreme. He presides and prevails over all. He is king. There is nothing beyond His dominion. Nothing beyond His control. And He's our refuge. He's our refuge. He's not affected by the trouble. Though the mountains are cast into the sea, it does not have any effect upon who He is. None whatsoever. And He's our refuge. That you can't get a better refuge than what we have. Psalm 46, verse 7 and 11, He's the God of Jacob. We've preached on that title before. What a wonderful title. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jacob was a user. Jacob was a usurper. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a very selfish individual. He was a conniver. He was a schemer. He was an individual who insisted upon his own way, resisting God's way. He's the one who's constantly working the angles for his own benefit. That's Jacob. And the phrase, the God of Jacob, is a reminder that He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy and love. And He is our refuge. He is our refuge. The God of Jacob is a God of election. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. He's a God of election. He's a God who singles out the most unlikely of objects and fashions them into vessels for His own use. The God of Jacob is a God of patience, a God of long suffering and compassion. and He is our refuge. Aren't you glad that you have the God of Jacob as your refuge? He's the one who meets with the sinner. The God of Jacob. He meets with the sinner to bless him. And He is our refuge. It's a God who goes to great lengths to make something out of the sinner. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is one who overhauls and transforms lives. And again, He's our refuge. He's one who reveals Himself to the sinner and can bring the sinner to the end of their own resources and to a position of surrender. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is. Isn't it wonderful that the God of Jacob is? That the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is the one who gives the sinner new beginnings. And the God of Jacob is. And He is our refuge. You see, the God of Jacob is suited to me. He's suited to you. And He's our refuge. Which means that He is suitable to our needs. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So what is the use that we are to make of our refuge? God is our refuge. But not in the sense of a fire escape. We know that God is long-suffering for several reasons. How many individuals have no interest in God until they're in trouble, and then all of a sudden, He's their fire escape. And then as soon as the trouble is over, they go back to their own selfish ways. They put them up on a shelf until they need them the next time. Many people, that's how they live their lives. Many who profess to be saved, that's all God is. He's a fire escape. But God is a refuge. But not just, in a sense, a place where we can flee. He's a place where we can dwell and abide. And that's what is brought out in Psalm 91. We've already seen that God is our refuge, is in our dwelling place. He's with us. But in Psalm 91 and verse 1, we read the words dwelleth and abide. And this is in relation to the secret place of the Most High. There's something very special about those words, the secret place of the Most High. I believe that's Jesus Christ. And I believe that's exemplified in Moses when the Lord put His hand over him. The secret place of the Most High. We can dwell there. We can abide there. Yes, we can flee there. But it's something greater than that. We can live there. And it's also in relation to the shadow of the Almighty. God is our refuge. And He is a place where we can abide and dwell. We read in verse 9, the Most High, thy habitation. God the Most High is our habitation. That is, He provides Himself as our home, our habitation, a place where we can live. Thy habitation, God is home. God is to be our home. Home is a place of intimate relationships, or should be. Place of intimate connections. Place of love. Place of service. And God is our habitation. It's a place of security. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of joy. Home is a place of personal interest. God should be our home, our habitation. It's where our personal interest is. It's in Him. And we can dwell there. We can abide in God. Continuous, habitual dwelling in God. He's not just a place where we can flee when we have a need. Thank God He is, but He's more than that. He's a place where we can dwell. So we can live our life. If you dwell, if you abide, it means you're established. We are to live our lives established in God. It's the only way you can be established, is to live in God. Notice Psalm 91, dwelleth in the secret place. It means you're enclosed in the secret place, surrounded by the secret place of the Most High. Notice also, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under gives the idea of immersed, submerged, engulfed by the almightiness of God. Under the shadow of the Almighty. That's our refuge. Engulfed under the almightiness of God. What a refuge. What a refuge that you and I have. He is our refuge. We can flee to Him. But better yet, we can dwell in Him. We can abide in Him. Which means that we stay connected to Him. We don't just flee and then when the storm has passed, you become disconnected. We can flee and we can stay connected to Him. He is our dwelling place. A place where we can reside. Is that where you live today? God is your refuge. Is that where you continue? Is that where you remain? Moment by moment, day by day, in ordinary life, and at this very moment, and at all times, God is my refuge. God is my refuge. I don't have to get in a car and drive 500 miles to find a place of refuge. Our refuge is right where we are all the time. And I can dwell and I can abide in Him. And it's there in that refuge that we find spiritual refreshment. It is there in that refuge we find spiritual strength. We find spiritual provision. We find deliverance from the world. It is in that refuge that we are concealed. We're hidden in Christ, according to Colossians. It's a place where we find protection. And as you abide there, you find courage. It's a place of enjoyment. Oh, the joy of abiding and dwelling in God. It's also a place of revelation. As we abide in Him, God reveals Himself. God reveals His glory. It is a place of victory. So yes, you and I that are saved, He has been our refuge. There was that day when God made real to us our lost condition and caused us to flee to Him. And that day we found salvation in Jesus Christ. And ever since then, He has been our refuge. But it's not just past tense, He is. He is right now our refuge. But it's not just past and present, He shall be our refuge. He shall be. Though the mountains are cast into the sea, He shall be our refuge. We must never, ever lose sight of God as our refuge. How many times we have found blessed peace in our refuge. Book of Jeremiah speaks of the refuges of lies. There are many such places. And they'll all be swept away. But there is one refuge that's always sure, where you always find what you need. And that's in the Lord. But again, if you're here tonight and lost, you need a place where you can flee from the terrible danger that you are in. And there is only one such place, and that is Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you tonight that if you flee to Him, you will find refuge for your soul. We're not talking about temporary relief. We're not talking about a feel-good moment. We're talking about permanent, eternal refuge for your soul. A feel-good moment will not save your soul. But you can find salvation in this one place of refuge. And we that have found that refuge, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget where we found refuge. We all get in circumstances from time to time and we might say, I just don't know what to do. Flee. Flee to your refuge. Go to God. There's nothing better. There's nothing better you can do. Flee to God. Remember when you fled to Him the first time. He was everything. And He still is. He still is. I'm so thankful that there was a day in my life where I fled to Him for refuge and He saved my soul. And ever since, He has been my refuge. He has never once failed me. And any time I think He has, that's my error. He's never failed. Not once. And he won't. And again, if you think he has failed you, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's faithful. You can depend on him tonight as a refuge. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you can depend upon him as your refuge. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.